It's good to see everybody this evening. I think we felt the Lord was working on him when we first met him. And what it is Scripture talks about prophets, spirit bearing witness with another, or a preacher. And there was just something different about him. Of course, we all think that today. Good to have friends. Speak their mind, they don't say a thing, huh? Look with me tonight in 1 Peter. I appreciate the specials tonight. I like to see the young people, older people, sing to the Lord's honor and glory. And if you're around Brother Keith and Sister Barb's house very long, you hear songs on. Even if you're in bed, you'll hear songs on. And I probably the most instrument I hear most of all, since we were directly underneath them, was the drum. You might say, they don't have a drum. Yes, they do. They got two of them. Matter of fact, they're sitting right behind Jan. It's good to see everybody. You need to come into the house of the Lord and be yourself. Come into the house of the Lord and let go of the world. Come into the house of the Lord and what you see is what you get. Don't put on a show. Don't put on anything fancy. Just put on that face the Lord gave you, that heart that He instilled in you. And tonight we want you to open your hearts to the Word of God. I wanted to start out tonight with a sound check. You know, all the men say amen.
Amen.
Well, there's a start. There's a start. We could say God is really great.
Amen.
Yep, okay. I just want to make sure you're out there. Now, ladies, if you wanted to, whatever, I'm sorry with me. Down south, they take a handkerchief and go like this. You say, well, don't teach them to do that. Well, you better read your scriptures. Some of those worship services got pretty rowdy when they had timbals and cymbals and trumpets and everything else and every stringed instrument going on and marrying dancing and all these things going on. And what were they doing? They weren't giving anybody a show. They're praising God with what they have. And those joyful noises are nice. It's when we sing from our hearts. I want to bring to you tonight something that's very necessary. Nothing new. I believe that we're going to enter into a door, and I believe some of us are already in that door today, when there'll be a great suffering take place in this nation. No, I'm not going to make a prophetic statement saying, well, this is going to happen this date or anything like that. That's God's business. But what also is God's business is preparing us to be ready for the hard times. And I believe God's people are going to shine the brightest during the dark times. They're going to shine in such a way that people are going to know there he must be a Baptist. They must be one of God's children. They stand up strong and stand up tall, rubbing shoulders with the very best that there is, God's children. And the world's going to see that. But you know what the world's going to do? They're going to cast stones. They're going to cast stones at us in such a way that it's going to hurt. It might be your mother, father, brother, sister, aunts, uncles. And they'll say things about you. I had some pretty good compliments by people I worked with, and this is about as good as it gets, Brother Mark. Are you still at it? You still preaching? I'm trying. By God's grace.
Amen.
Tonight, I'm going to paint a picture for us all through the Scriptures. And I want to add this too. If some man gets up and preaches and they just say what they think, that doesn't hold much water.
Amen.
It's what God says that's important. And so let us believe what God says, not what some guy down the road says about whatever's going to happen, but what God says about it. I'm not going to take you down through the earthquakes and all that kind of stuff that's taking place. And Lord knows we've had some good ones here lately. Tsunamis. All these things that are going on. What was it? I think it was our visitors there saying they came from California. We've always wondered when that state was going to fall in. Maybe one of these days. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 4. I want you to notice with me, first of all, in verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. As much as Christ suffered for us. Then he says, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Alright, let's go a little further now. In verse 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Now read that carefully. Which is to try you. It did not say which might happen. It's telling us it will happen. Notice what it says. Which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, insomuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye shall be glad also with exceedingly joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. Now think about that before it happens. When you're suffering, you're being buffeted. When you have reproach. Well, you're just a little church. You don't mean nothing. You're a little church. You know, you can't be in the Lord's will. I probably told you before, but I had a preacher one time say from the pulpit, I went there and he was preaching and he says, if you don't have 120 in your church in the first 2 years, you're doing something wrong. My, we must have been doing a whole lot wrong. We had about 12, I think. But you know what? How many did Jesus have? Start taking a roll call and you'll see there's more happened after he left than when he was here with us. Let's look at this now. If you are partakers of Christ's suffering, verse 13, when his glory shall be revealed, ye shall be glad also with exceedingly joy, if ye be approached for the name of Christ. How many times we hear this? Well, we're going to go have a party, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and we're going to have a big fellowship. Oh, that's right, you can't go, can you? You can't do those things. Or we're going to go out and do this and do that. Oh, you can't do that. Children at school, they'll hear things. In a public school, they'll hear things like, what's wrong with you? You can't go and do what we're doing? And they'll say, what's wrong with you? That's a reproach. People at work will say, and I hope this is not a problem for anybody, and they'll say, well, how come you can't work on Sunday? Might be a reproach upon you. They'll say things like that. Are you better than we? Just following the Lord. But the Scripture says, but rejoice in these things. If, in verse 14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. We're not to have a great big personal pity party over what we can't do and what's happening to us. But praise God if we're accounted worthy to go through those same things that our forefathers went through for us. I find it a problem today. There's a couple of things that I want to mention here, and I might go to seed a little bit with it. One of them is confessing sin. I want to ask all the brethren here tonight, what happened to confessing sin? Is everybody already perfect? I know I'm not. Remember those days, Brother Mark, when people used to come forward confessing sin? I've wronged you, brother. Remember that service, Brother Mark, when about 30 of us came forward and talking to our pastors because we weren't doing right? That's what I did with Brother Jones anyway. And people were saved. One of the preachers, I can't remember his name, he got up to pray and all he could do was cry. Brother, one down Watson. Oakley. He stood up to pray, and he's a very elegant speaker. I mean, his words are really nice. And he got up to pray, and he just started crying. And you heard only two or three words, and he was done. Lasted several minutes. And you heard silence and weeping. What happened to that? What happened to the remorse over sin? Have we elevated to the point as Baptists that we sin no more? I don't think so. I'm still having trouble in that same area today as I was having back 30 years ago. You know what? I'm still living in this flesh. And there's things to cry about. There's things that I can have terrible remorse over still today. I don't know about you, but I've done a lot of dumb things. I'll admit it. You kids, get over it. You're going to do it too. You remember what your parents said. Don't touch that stove. You know what you did. You touched it. I know he did. Listen. The Bible teaches us that we ought to have remorse over our sins.
Amen.
Godly sorrow goes a little further than that. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. When's the last time you've seen somebody come forward and cry over their sin and ask for prayer and help to get over something? Anyone here watch something on TV they shouldn't watch? You know, the Bible talks about even having pleasure in watching those that did so. I'm paraphrasing. But that's scary. Some of the shows that we watch is, it could be adultery, fornication, nakedness, whatever, bad language, various things that are going on. And before you get on your high horse and say, I don't have a TV, your mind hasn't stopped. You could be in the church and have some most terrible thoughts in the world. What happened to us? What hardened our hearts to the point that we won't confess sin any longer? You're not alone. All the preachers could come up forward here and keep us here the rest of this evening telling you about all those things they shouldn't have done. I'm going to say, and today. What happened to us? What happened to us is our conscience got seared with sin. What happened to us is our ears got dull of hearing because of sin. We lived, and I use this example a lot, so forgive me. We lived by a train track down in Daytona Beach. And that's where Chris was born, is Daytona Beach. And we lived close to a train track, just a few feet away. And down in Daytona Beach especially, it's coral in the ground right there. And coral is quite movable. There's a body of water underneath it. You got buildings on that. And that body of water and those tracks and the trains going over, and we lived in a little postage stamp house. I mean, just a little bitty house, like a one-bedroom house. It kind of had a living room and kind of had a kitchen, and that was it, bathroom. And every time those trains would go by, we felt like we're doing this. And that's kind of discerning a little bit when you're trying to sleep and you feel like there's an earthquake or something going on and make noise. But you know, after we lived there for a while, didn't even notice it because we got used to it. Here's the problem with Baptists today. They got so used to sin that they don't even notice it today. Well, preacher's doing it. That's no excuse. Well, dad's doing it. That's no excuse. You got to do better than dad. Do better than the preacher if need be. Well, mama does it. You do better. Sin is still sin today. And the one we have to deal with is our Heavenly Father. No remorse over sin. No confession of sin. The Bible says a lot about that. And that's not even my message. That's just free. Tonight, if there's sin in your life, you don't have to wait for the pastor to have an invitation. You can get that thing right with the Lord right now. And if you need help with it, I'll be more than glad to kneel down with you in front of these pews or wherever and pray with you about it. I know the pastor would. He'd be more than glad to. Matter of fact, he would rejoice if he did. Because it sees that God's people are serious about sin. Wait a minute. Maybe we should have a sound check again.
Amen.
I believe God's serious about it.
Yes.
He's so serious about it that He gave His only begotten Son that He would die because of my sin. That makes it serious.
Amen.
And that He gave His only begotten Son for me. I guess we're going to get off track and get on track. Look with me in the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, chapter 53, I believe. Yep. Anybody wonder what Jesus looked like? You want to know? This is it right here. This is going to tell you what Jesus was all about and what happened to Him. And actually what He looked like. You say, well, we don't have any paintings or anything. No, we better not have. The Bible says not to have any image of Him. But He's telling us His character here a little bit. He's telling us some of the characteristics of Him. Let's look. Isaiah 53. And let's just go ahead and start in verse 1. Who has believed our report? And whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant. Not macho man, not Superman, but a tender plant. Not that man that's got so much muscle, not meaning he's real tall, but just a man as a tender plant. As a root out of dry ground. Pretty pathetic if you think about that. Very little life at times, as far as his comeliness, notice. He has no form nor comeliness. He wasn't a handsome man. He did not have a stature that he was a head above, you know, like Saul, a head above everybody else. That's why they wanted him as king. Jesus was just a normal man, a tender plant. He had no form about him that would be desirous, no comeliness. I know that's contrary to what we see in pictures and movies and all that. And when we shall see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. And so it was when they seen Jesus on this earth.
Right.
As a carpenter's son, they flocked to Him to get food. They flocked to Him when the healing went on. But as soon as the trouble entered into the gates and He started telling about the sovereignty of God, He had to ask, are you going to leave me too? His very disciples. I don't see any flies, I guess I'm all right. But notice what God's people, the Israelites, thought. He is a despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from Him, was despised, and we esteemed Him not. They didn't lift Him up and say, praise unto Jesus. No, look. Surely, this is His character coming out. Surely He has bore our griefs. Now, let's stop there just for a second. I'm trying to find somebody I can pick on. Keith? I had so many good points last night. Jordy gave me 4 of them. Barbie gave me 3. But I'm going to pick on Keith. Keith, think about this with me just for a minute. Everybody, you can listen if you want to. We're just talking here for a second. Keith, do you realize when Jesus was on that tree? See, Jesus was hanging like this with his hands over his head. Not like this. Because the problem with the cross, as people talk about it, you could hold yourself up if you were doing this. What the idea of the cross was, actually wasn't a cross, it was a pole. Just like they did on the road to Rome. They put them on poles, they put their hands over their heads and their feet. That part was right, the nailing and all, that's all right. But what it was doing is choking them. A suffering death. That's what the physical part was. But here at Keith, do you realize when he was hanging there on that tree, if he took his feet and lifted himself up, he was tearing the most tender part of your feet. And if he relieved his feet, he started suffocating because air would be taken out of his lungs. A lot of people don't know that. It gets better, though, in this point. Keith, when he was on that tree hanging there, my sin was laid upon him. And as the scripture tells us, he bore our grief. And that was our sin. See, that cross, that tree, did not kill Jesus.
Right.
It wasn't that hanging on that tree that killed him.
Amen.
It was my sin. And people don't realize that today. God himself, on that tree, hanging there and suffering there, he was, now the word boring, upholding my sin upon himself. Now, take a good picture now. He's hanging here, and all of a sudden it became dark around him. To my understanding, and brother, you can straighten me out on this, my understanding, God could not look upon sin. Jesus, off the earth on this tree, was between me and God. But it got closer than that. All of a sudden, God's Son put upon himself my sin upon himself. So the Father looked at his Son, and all he seen was sin. So darkness came upon the earth. A cloak. Well, I guess it gets more serious than that. He carried my sorrows. As I suffer for him in these last few days, and as you do, that was there too. Past, present, and future sins. When you sin today, your sin was upon Jesus on that tree. On him. He bore them. He carried them. Yet, and this is the sad part, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Listen now, a lot of times we sin and we never get to the point understanding that we're not esteeming what he did on the cross. We sin and don't think anything of it. And it was my sin that put him to death. And I want you to think about this. It wasn't the death of the flesh that God was interested in.
Right.
It was the death of the soul. In the soul is that life. In the blood is the life of the body. And when he went up to heaven, remember when he said, now don't touch me yet, you know, I got to ascend up to heaven. He had to sprinkle his blood over the mercy seat. And so now, the good news is, when God looks at me, he looks at me through the blood of Jesus. Pure and perfect. But then if we sin today and we don't confess our sins, we're renewing it. We're refreshing the fact that we don't account it. Let me look at this now. We didn't esteem him. We just esteemed him stricken. He paid the price. But we don't realize he paid the price through all eternity for me and you. He paid the price for every sin that we'll ever commit. And it was all placed upon him on the cross. And the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. That's what killed Jesus. My sin killed Jesus. Your sin killed Jesus.
Yes.
It wasn't the tree hanging. It wasn't the spear in his side. He was already dead. When he said it was finished, that was it. He gave up his life. They didn't take it. He gave up his life. This is God Himself on that tree giving up His life for me and you. Now let's notice what happened during this time. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Our evil designs and desires, even though we don't fulfill them, He also died for those as well. The chastisement of our peace between us and God was upon Him. And with His stripes, we are healed. So it was God Himself, Jesus, on that tree dying for our sin. And yet today it seems that Baptists can't confess sin any longer. Are they too proud? Is that what's wrong with us? When's the last time you've seen a preacher come forward? I know. I'm hitting this all of the preachers now. When's the last time you've seen a preacher come forward? I hope you see him come forward every time he comes forward. He's going between you and the Lord right there when he stands in front of you right there. Do you realize that? He's an ambassador. He's a spokesman for God, and you can come forward and talk with him. Oh, he's not a high priest or anything like what some of these churches have. What he is God's speaker, God's messenger. And he has good communication with the Lord. And then sometimes even Baptists say, well, I don't believe that. That was then, this is now. Well, that's old fashioned. God said he's the same today as he was yesterday and will be forevermore. All right, so look at the scriptures. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, I want you to think about something just for a second. Do you ever really get down because of your sin? I hope so. Doesn't it feel like a weight? And if you got more, just before I was saved, I thought I was going to be crushed by my weight that I was carrying around. Can you imagine? You folks tell me. I don't know how many people are saved down through all this time. How many people are saved? Can you imagine that weight that I felt and you felt, and all of a sudden that weight is conferred over to Jesus? It just crushed him like a bug. The weight of sin upon him. They said, well, he didn't last very long on the cross. I think he was super God. He lasted by holding up himself before the Father and taking all my sin weight and debt and place it upon himself. Yes. Oh, me. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one his own way. I'm talking about our sin now. I know what it's talking about here. But when I read that, I thought, we're just going with our sin, doing our thing. We're not considering the cost of our sin any longer. We haven't considered what God Himself had to pay for our sin. And if we would really concern ourselves with that, I think we'd be weeping most services. I think we'd be confessing sin and asking brothers and sisters. All right, let me ask you another one. When's the last time you've seen a sister of the church go to another sister in the church during an invitation and ask forgiveness? You ever have those bad thoughts? You ever say something dumb? Before I know it, there it is! You know what? You need to ask them to forgive you of that. Said something about your parents you shouldn't have said? Well, it was dumb, wasn't it? But did you go to them and say, you know, I've done this. I've sinned against you. I brought dishonor to you. Would you forgive me? With alligator tears. Parents, you thought you were going to get away with it, didn't you? Parents, when's the last time we apologized to our children when we done something wrong to them? Well, I'm the adult. I don't have to do that. Shame on you. Shame on you. The Lord gave us a heart to worship and to adore the Father. And He told us with this new heart that we'll even love our enemies. And what do we do to our wives, our husbands, our children, family members? It's pretty pathetic if you think about it. How you can treat, don't be guilty of this, how you can treat a stranger better than you treat your wife or your husband. You get around somebody and you're so kind and you're so nice, and then you get home around your family and you're just a snake biting, picking. When's the last time we went to the Lord and asked Him to forgive us of that? When's the last time we got right, not with the Lord, but with the church? Well, that'd have to be the same thing there, wouldn't it? If you're right with the Lord, you'll be right with the church. When's the last time the Lord revealed to you that you could do something in the church to help the pastor out? I want to praise and give God the honor and glory for that new vehicle that our young pastor gets to drive now.
Amen.
He was proud of you. And that was a godly pride. And I'm so thankful that you did that.
Amen.
And you know what? The Lord is also looking down at His children. Well done, my children. All right, let's turn it around now. When's the last time we praised God? Just for being Him. All right, we can't stop, though. We've got to go a little further. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet He opened not His mouth. Now, I've got to bring this out. I don't think we're ever going to get back to the other message. I guess this is the real one right here. Our mouth. He opened not His mouth. And how many times we are guilty, and I say we, of complaining to God and everybody else about the road we have to take. I don't think we can compare our lives to anything that Jesus went through.
Right.
So we ought to be rejoicing if we are even accounted worthy to suffer for His namesake. We ought to be flying high, thinking, you're in the same boat with Jesus. It says you'll be glorified together with Him. That's rich.
Amen.
He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as sheep before her shears is dumb, so open not his mouth. That reminds me of a lot of things there. His beard being plucked, His face being beaten, the crown of thorns, the hazing. And they took His garment. They put some ceremonial robes on Him for a second or two, and then they got rid of His garment. Then the last piece of garment they cast lots for is all one piece. When Jesus was on the cross, He was there completely naked. Nothing to hide. And He did it for me and you. The humility, the shame of the cross. The Bible talks about that of the tree. A man hanged on a tree is a terrible thing, as far as the Jews are concerned. It's a blasphemy. Here He is in open shame. You look at the magnitude of that. God Himself on that tree. In open shame for me. And how many times have we been in open shame in front of other people with the terrible clothing that we wear? How many times have we been in open shame before everybody around us and God Himself with the words that we use? Open shame. But He didn't even open His mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off from the land of the living for the transgression of my people was He stricken. So, it was my transgression that fell upon Him. He didn't complain about it. Well, I got to go to church Sunday. The Super Bowl's on. I can't go to church Sunday. You ought to be struck with lightning. I'm serious. If I did that, I'd expect it. I'll go further than that. If I didn't put my tithes in, I'd expect it too. I'm serious. I would. Lord's been so good to us.
Amen.
We give Him a little bit and He gives us a whole bunch.
Amen.
You can't complain about that. 10% and get everything you got? You can't even compare it. That was free too. And He made His grave with the wicked and with the rich in His death, because He has done no violence, neither was there any deceit in His mouth. Why? How about us? Oh, I'm a faithful Baptist. I'm a strong Baptist. Haven't read my Bible in a year, but I'm a strong Baptist. I pray. Well, once in a while. I'm a strong Baptist. That's deceit. Well, I'll be praying for you. Oops. Yet, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. I can't even comprehend this. It pleased the Lord, God Himself, to bruise His only begotten Son. He has put Him to grief. You think about the greatest tormentor you could have. Remember the rich man in hell, Luke 16? He died and then in torments immediately. And being tormented by this flame. Can you imagine God Himself putting somebody to grief? How bad it could be? With all His power and with all His might and everything that He has, He put Him to grief. Well, here's the reason. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. That was the worst thing that he could do to his son, is make his son sin. He became sin for us, yet he never sinned. To make his soul an offering for sin. See, that is Bible. The Bible does say that. So don't run out of here and say it don't say it. It's there. Good English, wasn't it? He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Now here's where it gets really, really rich with some super things there to comprehend. He shall see the travail of his soul. Alright. You got this little baby that's precious and you think it never has sinned. It has. A baby can lie to you just as easy as the next person. But you look at this precious baby, and this baby is hurting, and it's crying, and Debbie would have a mess. You'd be a fit over it. I mean, the baby just crying, and all these problems, and it's got polio, and it's got MS, and it's got AIDS. I went to the St. Louis Hospital for Children. You see it advertised on TV. All them bald heads. Those babies with cancer. Don't you just feel like picking them up and hugging them? And you just feel for them in such a way. Well, God looked at the travail of His Son's soul. He was crying out. He was in pain because He never witnessed sin before. He never had sin before. And then all of a sudden, it was placed upon Him. And as a sheep, never opening up His mouth, He bore it. The weight of it. The shame of it. The burden of it. All that we would bear throughout all eternity was placed on Him. And that's where my knowledge is really far from it, because I don't understand all that. But I do understand this. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. I want you to realize this. There was no shortcuts with the death of Jesus Christ. When Jesus said it's finished, He completed everything He had to do in the flesh. Then he gave up the ghost. And then God was, all the meanwhile, remember the sin placed upon him. And he shall be satisfied. We could live for a billion years in hell and we'd never satisfy God. We don't have what's necessary.
Right.
There had to be a perfect, pure Lamb of God offered. And that was the only way. By His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. He didn't say all. He said many. That word justify, every time I read it, just cries out, innocent! He made me innocent! He didn't make everybody innocent. He made me innocent. And I'm so thankful. But I don't show it like I should. He's done so much for me and doing so much for me. And He continues to do so much for me. We ought to be all shameful servants. For He shall bear their iniquities. Did you notice the repetition here over and over again? That means it's important. It's precious. You got to see. It goes on. But you got to see a picture of Jesus. The suffering of Jesus. Now when you think about this, what could we possibly do in this life that ever compare to that? Nothing. We have nothing to compare with. We can spend the rest of our natural days on this earth as poor bum in front of somebody's house in a paper box or whatever, and we see people like that. We could be out in the wilderness in a cave living the rest of our days and never have anything to compare with the sufferings of Christ. We could have people beating us every day, lack of food. They did everything to put the shame upon Jesus. You know what? I wanted to preach a message. The Lord hadn't let me preach it yet. Maybe He'll let me preach it one of these days. As we were there when He was nailed to the tree. And when the Lord allowed me one day, I'm going to say, we were the Gentiles. The Gentiles were the ones that nailed Him to that tree. And I would simply say, now, Randy, you and I, you were holding the nail and I was pounding it in. You know, and we went to the feet, the legs. And Brother Mark, you were there with me too. And you helped nail Him to that tree. And then we look around and we see all our brothers and our sisters right there, Gentiles. A lot of people say, well, I wish I could have been back then. You'd have been one nailing Him to the tree. You'd have been one of those spitting on Him. You'd have been one of them patting down the thorns. You would have been there.
Right.
We wouldn't have been on a high horse looking back at it. We'd go, oh, woe is me. And do you realize today, when we sin, we bring shame upon Jesus, His name? Be ye holy, for I am holy. Let's look at one other scripture here. The book of Romans, chapter 12. You might get part two tomorrow, I don't know. In Romans chapter 12, Paul, undoubtedly one of the greatest laborers for the Lord, one of the ones that had to suffer more than everybody that I know, he paid the ultimate price in time. He says to those at Rome, he says, I beseech you therefore, in chapter 12, verse 1, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Remember how I was saying to the young people, be virgins. The older people, you don't want to commit adultery. You don't want to commit crimes. You don't want to do this. You don't want to do that. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Walking around with your tabernacle, drunk, shame. Using words you shouldn't use, shame. An open shame. We are to be a living sacrifice. Not a poor me sacrifice, but a living sacrifice. holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is not unreasonable. This is our reasonable service. For Jesus paid the whole price. All we are to live reasonably for Him. If a man sins, you can go to Jesus and ask forgiveness. We got a mediator between us and the Father. And we can go to Him at any time. Now notice what, I should turn to that scripture, I guess. Let me read the rest of this. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. It's not what we think we ought to be. It's what God thinks we ought to be. All right, real quickly, go with me in John, 1 John. 1 John. And then I can kind of come back around the circle of this scripture. And I want to get back just to this point. Confessing our sin. In the book of John, 1 John chapter 1, if, verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Now notice this next word, conditional on this little two-letter word, if. If we confess our sins, everything is conditional on that word right there, if. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse it from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. That's where we end, right there. Confession. Children, are you right between you and your parents? Parents, are you right with your children? Husbands, you love her? But do you tell her that lately? The Bible tells for a husband to love his wife. Of course, wife's to love the husband. Then it talks about due benevolence. Word kindness comes into that word as well. But do you realize due kindness is towards all of your family? Does the Lord burden your heart today with anything that you know you've been doing wrong? When's the last time you came up to your pastor, gave him a big old hug? I know people don't like to do that, but I do. Big old hug and say, Pastor, we love you, appreciate you, we thank you for taking a stand. See, John rejoiced over the children walking in the truth. When's the last time you've done that? Tell your pastor you love him. But more than that, tell him you're praying for him. And we appreciate him. And show your respect for him. If there's a job that you can do, this is free as well. If there's a job that you can do in this building, around this area, take it and do it, and don't let the pastor do it. I don't care. I don't care if you have two jobs, don't let the pastor do it. That's to our shame when we do. Now you might not, maybe the pastor don't even agree with that. But I'll tell you right now, the Lord would have the pastor to study and pray. Not to run a social club. Not to keep you entertained. But to bring you, thus saith the Lord, in spirit and truth. You want Him busy at that task. And you want to be one of those that are holding up His arms so He can do it. I know pastors can get embarrassed over things like this, but somebody's got to say it. And make sure he don't have a need. I didn't say a want. I want a GTO, brother. But I'd like a 1965 GTO, Brother Mark. I'm not going to hold my breath on that one. But if he needs transportation, you got two vehicles, he's got transportation. That's the way it ought to be. If he didn't have food, you got food, he's got food. Get the idea? Anything you have that you can help him, Now, a lot of people say, well, all he does is preach. Shame on you. The man of God can spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, praying for you. He's got a full-time job. Study. I have to relate something to you. It's not the study that's the big burden. And even praying for you, now that's bigger, I think, burden. But when he meditates upon the Word of God and you, that's when the burden comes in. Does he dare say to you, thus saith the Lord in all its true form? You promote him. Say, preacher, it hurt, but you keep preaching it. I'm serious. Let him know you appreciate the truth. Okay, that's enough free stuff for tonight. But I want to ask you once again, is there something in your life that you know you need to confess? Is there sin in your life? You said something you shouldn't have, done something you shouldn't have. Are you faithful? Showing up in church is not the ideal part of faithfulness. Being part of the church is the ideal part of faithfulness. Taking part. And I like to think this church does a pretty good job. How about you tonight? Preachers, are we doing well? Song leaders? Got a couple, maybe? Is there something that you know you can do better? You're failing in. This is your opportunity right now. The pastor wants to have an invitation, that's up to him. And preachers, if you got something you need prayer over, I'd be glad to pray with you. You always pray for me. I got plenty to go around. And if you don't have anything, just come to me. I'll share with you. You young men, you might get some those hormones going big time. You know what I'm talking about. Don't give me that look. You know what I'm talking, ladies? You know what I'm talking about, too. Sometimes we do some things with our hearts and our minds we shouldn't. Our eyes look, we go wandering, and we got to ask the Lord, forgive us of that. Yeah, that too. All of us. Nobody here is exempt. I'll leave it alone. Prayer.